Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level English learners. During the pandemic, millions of employees and workers began to do their job from home and work remotely. 4 years later, remote work is still a feature of many workplaces. But will this last? Is the end of remote work around the corner? Let's discuss remote work and the return to office movement on today's episode of Thinking in English. You can find the full transcript for free over on thinkinginenglish.blog. The link is in the description. Here is today's vocabulary list. Remote. Remote. Located far away or distant. For example, due to the pandemic, many employees shifted to remote work. Mandate. Mandate. An official order or command issued by an authority. As in, the company issued a mandate requiring all employees to undergo regular COVID-19 testing before returning to the office. Hybrid. Hybrid. Combining two different elements. For example, the company adopted a hybrid work model, allowing employees to work remotely on certain days and in the office on others. White collar. White collar. Relating to professional or office-based work, typically performed in a corporate setting. As in, many white-collar workers found it convenient to transition to remote work, conducting meetings and completing tasks from their home offices. Blue collar. Blue collar. Relating to manual or industrial work, as in, the construction industry relies heavily on blue-collar workers. Productivity. Productivity. A measure of efficiency or output, as in, implementing new technology improved the team's productivity. Flexible. Flexible. Capable of being modified easily to suit changing circumstances or requirements. As in, the company offers flexible work hours, allowing employees to adjust their schedules to accommodate personal commitments. In 2020, life as we knew it was stopped, disrupted, and changed by the outbreak of COVID-19. Borders were shut, and international travel was incredibly difficult. All across the world, we were asked to stay inside our homes, stay away from others, and to social distance as much as possible. We began to wear masks when leaving the house and carrying bottles of hand sanitizer everywhere we went. Schools were closed down and classes moved online. And millions of jobs became remote. Of course, not everyone could work remotely. There was no way that my dad, a mechanic, could continue his business from behind a computer screen. But for workers fortunate enough to be able to work remotely, especially so-called knowledge workers, they quickly realized the benefits. No more long commutes to the office. More free time at home with family. The flexibility to work at your own schedule. Some took the opportunities of remote work even further. Some people relocated their families to nicer areas away from city centres. Some became nomads, working and travelling at the same time. Even when most COVID regulations were loosened and life began to return to normal, many companies have allowed employees to continue working remotely or in a hybrid arrangement. But this seems to be changing. You may have seen the term return to office or RTO, in the news recently. In fact, I know some of my Patreon supporters who I've spoken to recently have been told by their companies to return to the office and stop working remotely. There is a growing battle over remote work between companies and employees that will have repercussions for the future of work itself. In fact, the battle has become a political issue in many countries. It is framed as an argument between the left and right wing, between white-collar and blue-collar workers, and between employees and management. Today, I'd like to investigate this issue. We'll first look at the term remote work and discuss some important vocabulary related to it. We'll then discuss the context and reasons behind return to office policies and think about the positives and negatives of remote work for both employees and companies. Let's start with the basic idea, remote work. Remote work is a work arrangement where employees can carry out their job duties from a location other than the company's physical office. This flexible work model became possible due to advancements in technology, allowing people to connect and collaborate online. There are a few other related terms that you might come across when talking about remote work. Telecommuting is often used interchangeably with remote work. It involves working from a location away from the central office and using communication tools to stay connected. Remote work is part of a broader trend towards flexible work arrangements, which may include options like flex time, so rather than a fixed 9-to-5 schedule, or compressed work weeks, so working just 3 or 4 days a week. The week is compressed. Alongside flexible work is hybrid work. This is a work model that combines both remote and in-office work, allowing employees to split their time between working remotely and being present at the office. Co-working has also become a growing theme. Co-working often refers to shared office spaces where remote workers, freelancers, and entrepreneurs can work alongside each other. For remote working and telecommuting to be possible, companies needed to form virtual teams. These are groups of individuals working together on projects or tasks, often across different geographical locations, relying on digital tools for collaboration. These remote collaboration tools are incredibly important. Examples of software and platforms that make remote work possible include Slack, Zoom, and Asana. Remote work and online jobs have been around for a long time. They're not new. I was teaching English online for a few months back in 2018. I had left my job in Japan, where I was an assistant language teacher, at the end of July 2018, and I was starting my master's degree in the middle of September 2018. So I had about 6 weeks of doing nothing. Rather than finding an in-person job for a few weeks, I decided to work online, from my bedroom, and just using my laptop, I could teach people from all around the world. But I was freelance. I was a self-employed contractor or freelancer. I was not employed by a company. This was the reality of most remote work before 2020. If you wanted to work remotely, most of the opportunities were for freelancers or contractors offering their services to multiple clients or companies. Of course, there were occasions when regular workers would work online, but this tended to be temporary or in exceptional circumstances or just quite rare. The pandemic changed this. With full-time employees no longer able or allowed to go into city centres or travel to offices, companies allowed workers to work online when possible. The reality is that many white-collar office jobs only require a laptop and an internet connection to do adequately. So rather than shutting down completely, major companies allowed certain teams of employees to work at home. Various types of workers and companies could transition to remote work more easily than others. Knowledge workers, such as those in IT, software development, marketing, and consulting, often found it easier to transition to remote work since their tasks could be performed digitally. Similarly, companies with a strong technological infrastructure and a culture of flexibility were already positioned to adopt remote work. On the other hand, industries that rely heavily on physical presence, such as manufacturing, healthcare, and retail, faced greater challenges in transitioning to remote work. Jobs that require hands-on work, face-to-face interaction or physical presence, like construction workers or restaurant staff or healthcare providers, couldn't easily shift to remote work due to the nature of their job. The divide between remote workers and those who didn't have that option widened during the pandemic. Remote workers often had the privilege of maintaining their jobs and income while working from the safety of their homes. However, those who couldn't work remotely faced greater risks to their health, their job security, and their financial stability. Many assumed that the shift to remote work would have long-term consequences for the workplace and perhaps make hybrid working widespread across certain industries. However, it has become clear that many companies actually want their workers to return to the office. In fact, this is now a common term you will see in especially North American articles. Return to office, or RTO. Return to office refers to the transition or initiative by companies to bring their employees back to their physical office. After years of remote work during the pandemic, many companies are now trying to transition back to traditional work. Return to office often involves setting policies and guidelines for employees to resume working from the office either on a full-time or part-time basis. The concept has gained prominence as pandemic-related restrictions eased and vaccination rates increased. Many companies initially shifted to remote work for employee safety or due to government rules. However, as conditions improved and government rules changed, some employers issued return to office mandates, meaning that employees would be required to return to their workspace. High-profile companies like Boeing and UPS have called workers back to the office 5 days a week, so a very firm stance on returning to traditional in-office work. Companies like IBM have set return-to-office mandates, requiring managers to be on site at least 3 days a week or risk losing their jobs. There is a stricter enforcement of attendance policies, even for employees who may have moved away during the pandemic. Despite return-to-office mandates, there has been resistance from some employees who prefer remote or hybrid work arrangements. Examples include quiet quitting, where employees show up to the office briefly but remain disengaged. Some CEOs have taken a hard-line approach to return-to-office mandates, driven by a desire for control or a return to pre-pandemic norms. Examples include companies like JP Morgan Chase, whose leaders have been very vocal about the importance of in-person collaboration and productivity. So let's take a look at the company perspectives on remote work and return to office. Let's start with why return to office. Why are many major companies now leaving behind remote work? Why are return to office policies increasingly common? There are various different reasons. Many companies believe that in-person interaction is better for collaboration, innovation, and teamwork compared to remote work. Being physically present in the office allows for discussions, brainstorming sessions, and face-to-face conversations that can lead to more efficient decisions. I work online, in my own home. I know how frustrating it can be to wait, right? To wait for an email from my accountant, or not be able to contact one of the team members who works with me on Patreon. Being in an office can make these things so much easier. The office environment also often plays a role in making company culture and creating a sense of belonging among employees. Companies may see return to office as essential for strengthening their culture, including shared values, norms, and social connections. For managers and leaders, having employees in the office gives them more control. I think this is one of the major reasons behind return to office. If employees are in the office, managers can monitor performance, provide feedback, and mentor more efficiently. They can make sure employees turn up on time, are not distracted by housework, and are always working. In-office work can offer opportunities for professional development, mentorship, and skill building that may be more challenging to achieve in a remote work environment. In fact, many companies spend a lot of money on renting massive office spaces. If employees are working remotely, these expensive office spaces and the equipment inside them are largely being wasted. However, there are reasons for companies to consider allowing remote workers to continue working away from the office. Companies face resistance from employees who have grown accustomed to the flexibility and freedom of remote work. There are countless stories about talented employees quitting jobs or turning down job offers because remote work is not being offered. These strict return to office mandates may lead to talent leaving as employees seek organizations or companies that offer remote or hybrid work options. In fact, phrases like quiet quitting have become increasingly common as employees resist and protest against work culture. Returning to the office may also disrupt employees' work-life balance, especially for those who have caregiving responsibilities or long commutes. Since the pandemic, many people have formed new habits. Those who have got used to working from home may be uncomfortable with needing to change their lives dramatically again, or may just not be used to working in an office. And finally, companies might still have concerns about health and safety in crowded office environments, particularly as COVID-19 is still possible to catch. Now, let's take a look at this issue from the perspective of employees and workers. Why work remotely? Well, remote workers often have greater flexibility and autonomy, allowing them to better manage their schedules and working environments. Remote work enables employees to achieve better work-life balance by getting rid of commuting time and allowing more time for personal activities and family. Working remotely can lead to cost savings for employees, including reduced commuting expenses, wardrobe costs, and dining out expenses. Remote work reduces the risk of exposure to COVID-19 by minimizing interactions in a crowded office space. And many workers are able to work efficiently and productively from their homes. For them, there's no difference between the office and their home office. On the other hand, there are reasons why not to work remotely. Remote work may hinder collaboration, brainstorming, and team bonding opportunities that occur naturally in an office environment. Remote work may limit opportunities for professional development and career advancement compared to in-person interactions. It is especially difficult for new employees to get up to speed, and working remotely can also lead to feelings of isolation and loneliness. Remote work requires reliable internet connectivity and access to appropriate technology, which may pose challenges for some employees. I have friends who decide to travel abroad while working for UK or US-based companies, but really struggle to find places to work consistently. In fact, this poses a challenge many remote workers are actually unaware of. Being a remote worker and a full-time employee of a company doesn't automatically mean you're allowed to work anywhere. It doesn't automatically mean you're allowed to work overseas in any country. Some countries, like where I live in Japan, tax based on the location of the work being done. For example, if you work remotely for a US company in Japan and you are a regular full-time employee instead of a freelancer, you should technically be paying all of your tax to Japan, at least all of the tax for the work done while you're in Japan. However, the more worrying thing is that if your employer, your company, finds out you're working overseas without permission, you're very likely to get fired. I've heard many stories about this when I was researching moving abroad, and I know people in Japan who have been fired because they moved here on a working holiday visa or something and still had a job that was supposed to be in the USA. Now, why would you get fired? Well, if an employee of a company is living in another country, that company can become liable to pay corporation taxes overseas as well, which can sometimes double the tax liability of a company. So here is today's final thought. What do you think? Many of you will probably have opinions on the issue of remote work and return to office. Some of you will have even been affected by this issue yourselves. This episode has looked at the context behind remote work and return to office. We looked at how the pandemic forced companies to let certain employees work from home and develop new habits. However, now they are wanting those employees to come back into their offices. We also discussed the pros and cons of remote work or return to office for both companies and employees. On the one hand, remote work is flexible, convenient for employees, and often effective. On the other hand, remote work worries companies as it takes away their control. But what do you think? Is this the end of remote work? Are you in favor of employees returning to the office? And what has been your experience of this issue? Have you been an employee who was allowed to work remotely for the past few years? Have you been forced to return to your office? Are you a manager of a company asking your employees to return to the office? Or are you a manual worker? Are you someone in an industry where you don't have the opportunity to work remotely? For example, for me, I am a self-employed, I guess freelancer, but really a self-employed business owner, and I make podcasts, so I work remotely. But sometimes I feel like it would be nice if I had a dedicated office space with a team of people who I could regularly talk with and perhaps become a bit more productive in that work environment, rather than always working in my home. So I'm currently trying to make myself an office space in my apartment. But let me know what you think, right? Leave a comment on Spotify. Leave a comment on the Thinking in English transcript. It's over on my website, thinkinginenglish.blog. Or reach out to me on Patreon or Discord, where I always start chats about podcast episodes, where you can ask me questions and I'll answer them, whatever questions you have. In fact, talking about transcripts, I still get comments asking where the transcripts are. So I make a transcript for every episode. It's on my website. Every single episode has a transcript on my website. And you can go and check that. But if you listen on Spotify, Spotify also transcribe my episodes for me. You can click view transcript. And I think some people can actually see subtitles as well, depending on if Spotify have rolled that out in your country yet. They are automatically AI generated. I can't edit those transcripts on Spotify, but they're really cool and really useful. So you can listen and read on the same app on your smartphone, which is really cool, I think. So yeah, if you want to listen to if you want the transcript, it's free for everyone. My website, on Spotify. I think Apple Podcasts have transcripts as well. So yeah, they're free everywhere. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.